Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. In podcast 467, we're going to do something I seldom do. Live from Folly Beach, South Carolina, we're going to talk about sports. But specifically, we're going to talk with an American basketball great, Rick Barry, one of the Golden State Warriors and a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Barry played in both the NBA and the ABA, and he's been named as one of the 50 greatest basketball players in history. Just so happens that Rick and I share a passion for Hydrus and for politics, which is really cool. And of course, Hydrus is one of the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast. But we're going to talk about a whole lot more than just Hydrus in this podcast. Rick has been called one of the most opinionated players in the NBA, and I like intense, serious people, and that is Rick to a T. And so let's just go ahead and bring Rick on. I want to get your take on politics in South Carolina a little bit. You're one of the most outspoken people in the NBA, so it's really a pleasure to talk to you today.
Well, you don't want to get me started on politics, do you? Because it'll ruin my day.
Well, it tends to ruin everybody's day.
I'd rather talk about Hydrus, you know, seriously. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I've always introduced a lot of different products, and over the years, a lot of things have come out, and the amazing thing is I was just talking to my wife about how vitamin water came out and the guy sold it for some obscene amount of money.
Yeah.
You ever look at the label on vitamin water? It has 28 grams of sugar per serving. People don't understand how bad sugar is for you. Sugar is one of the worst industries out there as far as the power that they have to lobby, because it's like the cigarette industry. The cigarette industry, if you remember, they had a clip. There was a documentary. Had a clip from the cigarette industry that they were talking about the sugar situation, where they said smoking is not bad for you in front of Congress and doing all that stuff from years and years ago, and obviously it proved that was a big crock. And then their same words coming out: sugar is not bad for you. Sugar is horrible for you,
especially when you see people. Oh, you know, doing sports.
It's so horrible for you.
Drinking it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's sugar in some of the other drinks that people have out there. All this great stuff that, you know, all the multi-millions of dollars are spent, and they make billions of dollars. The whole key to it is you have to be hydrated. Most people walk around. The majority of people in the world walk around, and they're not hydrated properly, and they don't know it.
I learned that through Hydrus, actually, because I was surprised at the change in everything.
Well, there's all kinds of problems that would be cured because your body would take care of it if your body functioned properly. If your body's not hydrated properly, it doesn't function properly. So a lot of things, from back aches to all kinds of things, they have all kinds of tested stuff on it. And so if I was playing ball today, I know that I would be using Hydrus. I mean, because you're doing a lot of sweating, a lot of energy that you're using when you're practicing, when you're playing. And there's no sugar. There's no sugar in it. They have testing proving that it's more hydration from even the leading product for kids that people use to go ahead and get kids when you have sicknesses and things. It's just an unbelievable product. So I just recommend people, here's the deal. Go to HydrusPerformance.com and read about it. Hydrus Performance, that's HYDRUS, Performance.com. Read about it. Go in the promo code. Put my number when I play basketball, number 24 in there, and you can get a discount on your initial order. And you want to have this, drink it every day. You want to be drinking this all the time. My wife, who was having problems saying, oh, I'm getting a headache and doing stuff, I said, hey, you're probably not hydrated, because she works out and does a lot of
things. I see that all the time in yoga.
And so I finally now got her doing it, and it's got some different flavors, which are nice. And she finally starts, when she starts drinking it all, she doesn't have that issue with her headache. So I just highly recommend it. And the beauty of Hydrus is you put it in. I know the first time I started doing it, I put it in, I start shaking it like a lot of other stuff. You put things, you got to shake it, and then it gets sediment on the bottom. This doesn't happen.
No.
This really disperses itself. You can just put it in there, and it's just fine.
And you're ready to go.
And you're ready to go. And it's a great thing to go. You're going out, you're going hiking, I go fishing a lot, and I go on my fishing trips. And if I'm out doing a lot of fishing, hiking around and in the water and what have you, using energy, I bring that and put it in my water and my water jug and drink it all day long, and it's great. It really, it's a great product. I just wish people would understand and realize how good it is. Check it out, folks. Hydrus, HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com, and read about it. It's got a lot of great information there, so you'll see what we're talking about here. And then if you decide you want to order some, and it's beautiful because it comes in some traveling pouches that you can take with you.
I got some right there.
It has the concentration that you can take in a bottle. You just put a cap full into a normal half-liter bottle of water, and you're all set, ready to go. It's very convenient, very easy to to use. So put 24 in the promo code and get a discount and get yourself back to being healthier and being hydrated.
Boom. So let's start with basketball. How has the NBA changed from when you played and you're Hall of Fame, an amazing athlete? Tell me about how the NBA has changed, and we'll jump off into some other things from there.
Well, back when I played, the players, I think, understood how to play the game the right way. They were really taught the fundamental principles and concepts. And I always try to explain to people it's sort of like a building. You can't put a tall building on a small foundation. It'll go so high and it's going to topple over because it doesn't have the support it needs. It's the same way in athletics or whatever you're doing. You need to learn the basic fundamental principles and concepts of what that sport is all about. The more you learn, that's a bigger foundation. The bigger the foundation. The bigger the foundation, the taller the building. And if you're blessed with God-given natural skills and talents, you're going to be able to have a chance to maximize your full potential because you'll understand how to utilize all those skills that you were given or all of that natural ability that you were given. There are plenty of players playing in the NBA today, I won't name names, who were there on sheer athleticism who will never be as good as they should be because they really don't understand how to utilize that amazing God-given talent that they have.
How did you get started? Where did you learn that?
Well, that's from my dad. My dad was a semi-pro player and coach. And so he was the one that was a pure fundamentalist and taught me the fundamentals, learning how to dribble with either hand, not looking at the basketball, court vision, ball-man relationship, even to the point when you ran down the court, don't run down the court after a basket and never watch the ball. You should always be seeing where the ball is. You should always know where the basketball is on a basketball court. And if you're going to do anything, lose sight of your man on defense, because the chances are if you watch the ball and the ball's going somewhere, chances are that's where your man will probably be because he's open.
Right.
So, but you never want to lose sight of the ball because you really can get embarrassed. I know when I played and go up for a jumper at times, I told the big men inside, look, if you're inside, don't ever take your eyes off me until I shoot it. Because if your man turns his head and I go up for a shot, I'm still going to see you, and I'll throw it right by his ear, and you'll get it and lay it in, and he's going to be terribly embarrassed because he's ready to go up and try to get a rebound off a missed shot, but I wasn't even shooting it yet.
Right.
So you always got to keep your eye on the basketball and be alert. So that's just kind of the way you play the game. And the nice thing about what's happening in the NBA now, because it was so much one-on-one stuff, is that teams like the Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs and now the Hawks, the way, because Budenholzer, who was an assistant to Popovich at San Antonio, they're actually going back to what I'm always saying, oh, Barry's old school. Yeah, well, old school is the way you play. That's the way the game was designed to be played. That's the beauty of the sport when it's played that way. Is it more fun last year in the finals to have watched the Golden State Warriors in the way they played or to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers when it was no pass or one pass the overwhelming majority of the time as opposed to the Warriors with sometimes two, three, four, five, six passes, moving the basketball, cutting, sharing the basketball, playing the game unselfishly in the way the game was designed to be played to try to create the easiest opportunity for yourself. And as a result of it, they won the championship. Now, they only played in that six-game series. They only played one game where they played 2.5 quarters of really good Warriors basketball on both ends of the court and still won the championship doing it because Cleveland was no pass, one pass.
You know, in a way, it's kind of like many things today, which seems like it's almost focused on personalities rather than the actual game. You know, we see a little bit of this in politics with the focus on personalities rather than issues.
Yeah, that happened years ago. They went away from it because it always used to be the Knicks and the Celtics on Sunday, right? The Lakers and the Warriors.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was they promoted the players. And it all started really with the NCAA becoming such a popular event. And all of a sudden, stars were being developed, and everybody was talking about the Magic Johnsons and the Larry Birds and those players. And so all of that publicity came out, and so the NBA kind of went along with that and started promoting the stars. And they got themselves in trouble a little bit because all of a sudden it went into the hip-hop thing, and you had the tattoos and all the other things that were going on.
Right.
And they were starting to lose their fan base because of it. And then they had some of the coaches, because the money got so great, started sitting on the ball and stopped really pushing it because because they were smart enough to realize we don't have the athletes the other team has. So if we hold the ball for 24 seconds almost before we shoot and we minimize the number of possessions, we have a better chance of staying in the game. Whereas if we play the up-tempo fast break style without the athletes that the other teams have, we're liable to get blown out. They didn't want to lose their jobs because it's all predicated on winning. And therefore, they tried to do whatever they could to win basketball games. And you can't really blame them for that. But it made the game boring to watch. And so the NBA was concerned about that. And so they made some adjustments. They realized it because they're always on top of things. They're always trying to find out what's best. Now they're concerned about this craziness of fouling off the basketball before the two-minute period and putting these brick masons at the line, the guys that can't shoot free throws. And it's making the game ugly to watch. And they're giving some consideration to putting another rule in. And I actually was just with Commissioner Silver the other day at All-Star Weekend, and I just said, please don't change the rule. It just doesn't make any sense at all to change a rule to protect somebody who lacks a skill that he should have to be able to play the game of basketball.
That's what we do now. We change the rules.
So well, they shouldn't.
Know, we do it all the time.
Well, you know, our people now don't pay any attention to the Constitution in our politics, so I mean, why do we even have a Constitution anymore?
You're staying down here to watch your son play basketball, kind of wintering down here, and you're originally from New Jersey. Any observations on South Carolina politics, as you're kind of seeing it, spending some time down here?
Well, you know, I don't really pay a lot of attention to it because politics has always been something that I've been turned off to. And the reason I got turned off to it is because after my rookie year in California, I was at a function. I had the pleasure of getting to know personally Ronald Reagan. He was a governor out there. And I'm at a function, and I get done with, after having a great rookie season, and I made the All-Pro team as a rookie, which doesn't happen very often, and did a lot of good things. And the Speaker of the House at the time comes up to me.
Speaker of the House.
Of California.
Okay, California.
Comes up to me and says, Rick, you know, you ought to run for office. I said, what? What are you talking about, run for office? I play basketball. No, seriously, you should run for office. I mean, your popularity now and all the publicity you have, you probably could win. I said, that's ridiculous. How am I going to do that? I said, I'm playing ball. How am I going to be there? Oh, you don't have to be there. I said, what? He said, you don't have to be there. I said, what do you mean I don't have to be there? If I'm going to run and I'm in office, I mean, isn't that my job that I'm supposed to be working and doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Oh, no, you don't have to be there. It's not a big deal. You could still play. It'd be great. And I just got so turned off to that. I'm saying that is ludicrous. That is absolutely ludicrous that you would run, get in office, and go out and do something else and not focus your energies on the responsibilities that you have for that particular job.
And I'm sure that you learn through what you're doing, you have to have complete focus on the game. And if you're going to do politics, you would want to have complete focus on it, I would
say.
Yeah,
well, anything I do, I try to do the best that I possibly can. So how am I supposed to serve two masters?
Right.
I'm supposed to go and play basketball and focus on that for 8 months out of the year. And then I occasionally show up, I guess, at Sacramento. I mean, come on. So it really did turn me off to the mentality and the way they look at it. Why? Because the problem with politics to me is this. The problem is that it's party politics that destroys what's going on because they do everything in order to create opportunities for their party. It's what's best for the party as opposed to what's best for the country and the people. Not what's best for the party.
Well, change is a motif, I think, in basketball, certainly these days. But it's also true in real estate that when it comes to real estate, things change very often, and especially in the North Metro, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Bottom line is it used to be that there were more sellers. Now there are more buyers. And if you're in the market to sell, and especially if you're in the market to buy, you got to have a real estate professional that understands the market, is detail-oriented and flexible. I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. I've been doing this. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero, the husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and Pride of Homes, if you are buying or selling in the North Metro. We're talking about the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, and the North Metro 94 corridor. For real 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 estate expertise, Eric and Aaron Lucero. Here's their number. You can reach out to them by simply calling this number or by checking out their prideofhomes.com website or clicking on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. But here's the number, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Like I said, buying or selling, you got to have real estate professionals with knowledge of the market on, you know, really down to the house, so you can find a property that fits your needs, or you can find a buyer that can obtain the right financing and is ready to go to close. And here's the thing about a husband and wife team. They can respond quickly to you. And when you combine Eric and Aram Lucero's flexibility with the incredible customer service at Luke Team Real Estate, you're good to go. The North Metro, as you know, is growing very quickly with 94 and 610 expansions. Every time I go up there, I'm amazed. I say it all the time, but it's true. Schools and access to both Minneapolis and St. Paul, all of those things combine to make a growth area in the North Metro. So if you're looking to buy or sell property, contact Eric and Aram Lucero, again, in the North and Northwest Metro. For real real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. All right. Where were we, Rick? Well, they're trying to maintain. They want to maintain control of the ball.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They want to be in power.
It's insane. I mean, it really and truly is insane. So I would, I lean conservative, basically, but I'm not a hard die-in-the-wool Republican. If I mean, I was a big fan of John F. Kennedy, and I'm not ask not what, you know, the country could do for you. Ask what can you do for your country. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, I actually was asked to go on a campaign tour and stuff when Bobby was going around, Kennedy, doing things. And I'm glad I didn't go, because it's when he got shot in L.A. I was supposed to go on that trip. And so, yeah, I just have a real problem. It's do what's right for the country. This is the biggest business in the world. And it's the worst run business in the world.
The United States.
The United States government.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any money. Everything they do loses money. So I don't understand why. That's why I would have loved to have seen Mitt Romney get in, only because he would have tried to run it like a business, because it is a business. And run it so that you can create opportunities where the government actually makes some money, which means there'd be less taxes have to be paid. Even though, like, the post office loses money all the time. Well, hey, you know what? Do what all the other businesses decided to do many years ago, decades ago, and they realized they don't have the answer to everything in every area of business. So what did? They outsourced.
Right.
So you outsource. So you get somebody to run the post office, and you do a business deal.
They're
going to let
about,
you run it, and we'll share in the profits.
They're talking about turning the post office into a bank now.
It's, you know, it's just, it's unfreaking believable to me, the stuff that goes on. It's actually an insult to my intelligence. Mainly because we're giving away billions of dollars to people who are here illegally, okay? I mean, they're here. They shouldn't be here. And we're giving them all these benefits. And the hardworking people don't have it as good as some of the people who come here who shouldn't even be here. Then to top it off, we give multi-billions and hundreds of millions of dollars to countries who hate us. That you don't even know where the money goes, and more than likely is being used by the whoever's ruling the country to live the life of Riley and have this glorious life that they live. That's an insult. And then on top of it, we're in debt, so we borrow more money to give it away to other countries. Are you freaking kidding me? That's an insult to my intelligence.
Well, you came from an era in terms of talking about the Reagan thing that was very different from the era we're living in now. And what do you think about all these Republicans in particular invoking Reagan and in their touring around the state? I don't know if they've come down here.
Talk is cheap, okay? Talk is cheap. I'm so tired of people who are talkers. I want doers. Politicians talk a great game. How many politicians in all of the years that we've been in existence actually get elected and actually do what they said they were going to do? That's why Donald Trump is scaring the hell out of both parties, because they know they can't control him.
Right.
He's not going to play the game. He doesn't have any interest in people that he has to pay somebody back here or there.
They're freaking out.
They're scared to death of him.
The establishment is freaking out.
They're scared to both parties are scared of him. And the people are finally buying, you know, getting, say, wait a second, you know, this really makes some sense here. What do you want to elect somebody who is just another politician? Because the politicians haven't done right by anybody. You know, either party have screwed up in their own way. So maybe it's time for a real change, not the change that Obama brought to us, okay? The change that screwed everything up and people bought into that drink the Kool-Aid for that. And now you got somebody who said, I'm just going to do what's right. I'm going to run it like a business. We're getting screwed in these trade deals. We're getting screwed by these other countries. That's not going to happen. We're going to run this like a business, most powerful business in the world. There are some candidates out there that are running that have no business even being allowed to run for president of the United States. If you look at their background and see what their history is and what they've done, it's, an insult to my intelligence that people actually think that some of these people should be president of our great country. Sad. Very sad. One of my favorite people, one of the most brilliant people that ever existed, and I'm a huge fan of his, and I've read up a lot of things about him, is Thomas Jefferson. I mean, Thomas Jefferson had some of the greatest quotes that are so relevant even today. A government powerful enough to give you all that you want is also powerful enough to take it all away. And if you read some of the things that he's written, he was so far ahead of his time. I think one of the greatest compliments was that I think it was John F. Kennedy was holding a state dinner around the table. And he said, this is probably, and excuse me if I don't get it exactly right, that this is one of the greatest gatherings of intellect that has ever been sitting down here in the White House, aside from the time that Thomas Jefferson dined alone.
That's a great quote.
Isn't that a great quote? And if you read up on Jefferson and the things that he talked about, they have such relevancy to what's going on even today. And that's what's scary. Because, see, if you really look into it and you understand the way this country was designed to be and what's happening to it now, it's a frightening thing. It really is truly, it's frightening. And I feel badly for my kids and my grandkids for the future of what's happening now. And something has to be done quickly. Otherwise, it's going to be in a situation where it may never be able to be corrected. And if you study and look and see what's happened to democracy, stuff, we've already passed by where the longest one is gone. They say they all wind up failing. And we're very close to that. I mean, I've read a lot of little things that scare me. I mean, really, truly scare me. You know, when you get half the people in the country are on the dole, you know, and the government's taking care of them, who are you going to vote for? You're going to vote for the people that keep giving you whatever you have. But then all absolutely. Of a sudden, they're not going to keep giving it to you. They're, like Jefferson said, they'll take it away from you. Well, but these people don't think that's the case. They think this is nirvana. Oh, I got all this great stuff. I'm entitled to this. The entitlement thing that goes on in our country today. You know the only thing you're entitled to? What my father told me, you're entitled to what you earn. And it's sad. It's a very sad state.
Well, especially if you're, and I'm sure that you, I mean, I don't know you very well, but I'm sure that you're the kind of person that, you know, you probably didn't. I mean, you reached down and found whatever you needed in your own life to be great at what you did and what you do.
Well, I went out and applied myself and tried to learn to do something really well. And I mean, you know, I was so fortunate. I mean, somebody was stupid enough to actually pay me to play basketball, to play a game. I mean, what a great country this is, right?
It's the focus on personality as opposed to issue. You're talking about, you've brought up some key issues here. We're not hearing about those issues. We're hearing about what Donald Trump said about Bush.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. And one thing that, and I know Donald personally, is that Donald gets caught up in this thing because he's an emotional kind of guy, and so he'll fight back. You know, he's in New York. You're at the Northeast.
That's what people like
and
about him.
And if you're in the North, yeah, and you want to stick up for yourself. But in some of the debates, I really think that the debates were unfair to him, and that the questions that he was posed with were questions that were BS questions.
Right.
And what he should have said is, look, I'm here to talk about issues that concern the United States of America and the problems that we are facing right now. If you would like to ask me a question about those issues that I have answers to and I can correct, then I'll be more than happy to answer them. But I'm not going to answer your BS questions about what do I think about what somebody said and all, because that's irrelevant in the scheme of things.
And
if he
could
do that, I think it would be great for him to do that. And he would earn a lot of respect of people that he turns off, because a lot of people are turned off to what my wife calls the New York edge, the Northeast edge, because you grow up over there in a dog eat dog world. And it's the, you know, for survival of the fittest. And so you jump back and you attack back and you do all of that. And that turns a lot of people off from a lot of different areas of the country. My wife says, she says, honey, I love the fact that you're honest. The problem is that you're brutally honest.
Right.
And people, and here's the truth. I found that people don't like the truth. People are afraid of the truth, and they don't want the truth unless it's something that they agree with.
then it's okay.
I get asked questions a lot of times, and people get mad at me because I don't give an answer that they like.
Give me an example of when people have gotten really irritated.
Well, it doesn't matter.
If I gave an opinion
about a certain player, and I said what I said about it, I give my opinion on him, and it happens to be something that doesn't coincide with their thoughts about that player. Well, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm got a big ego and doing stuff, and he's a jerk. I mean, it's ridiculous. You ask a question, I'm entitled to my opinion, just like you're entitled to yours.
Right.
And it does. And now, if it's basketball related, my opinion as opposed to your opinion is a heck of a lot more meaningful and has a lot more substance because you don't know anything about sports.
That's right.
And yet I did my radio show for years, and I have guys call up and they would argue with me about things. And I said, you know what? I really admire the fact that you believe so much that what you're saying is true, no matter how wrong it is, because you're trying to tell me that you know more about the sport that I played for all these years and have been a part of my life, and you think you know more about it than I do.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the characteristics of talk radio that I find fascinating.
Unbelievable.
People will call and poke at you because they think they know more than you do.
Oh, even the announcers. You know? When I call up as an interview, as a guest.
I will never do that to you.
As I call up, I'll fight you because I call up as a guest and the guy's talking. I said, what are you talking about? I said, come on, give me a break. I said, you're going to sit there and try to tell me that your opinion is more important than mine? You never played the game.
Right.
And then some guys, oh, well, you're not going to bring up the, well, you haven't played the game on me, are you? I says, of course I'm going to bring it up because you haven't played the game. And if you haven't played the game at the level I played it, there are things about it that you'll never know. And so, of course, I'm going to bring it up because I have more knowledge about the game than you do. And your opinion is no more valid than Joe Blow out there who's listening to the show because his opinion is his opinion. He's entitled to it, as wrong as it may be, just like your opinion is wrong as it may be. And I have no respect for your opinion. Because you haven't done anything to earn my respect.
Right. I haven't played any basketball, so... And I wouldn't even presume to... I would never give you an opinion. Although, I do want to ask about the underhanded free throw, which apparently you... I shouldn't say apparently. You and Wilt Chamberlain were the only players that really utilized that.
Oh, there were a couple of guys when I came in that did it. And before him, that's the way they shot. Two hands overhand, two hands underhand. Wilt actually only did it one year when he actually set the scoring record, when he averaged 50 points a game. And he had made 28 out of 32 when he had 100 points in one game, which will never be duplicated, either one of those records. They say records are meant to be broken, not those. And for some reason, he stopped doing it. It made no sense to me because he was horrible trying to do it overhead. And it's really amazing to me that why players today have this aversion to wanting to do it. Why? It's just that it's unorthodox. It's different than what's being done. But what other reason would you have to say, I don't want to do that if it could conceivably make you a better free throw shooter? Because isn't the object to put the ball in the basket?
And where did it come from with you? Like
my father, who was a semi-pro player and coach, shot that way and felt that I could shoot a higher percentage. And I didn't want to do it because back then that's the way girls shot it. So, I mean, I had a reason not to do it. I mean, I said, everybody's going to make fun of me, Dad. I'm shooting like the girls. He said, son, they can't make fun of you if you're making them, which is true. And so how can somebody make fun of you? I said, look at everybody's making fun of you now. They think you're a joke. So why wouldn't you try something to be able to become more proficient? First and foremost, for yourself, to feel better about yourself. Secondly, you owe it to your team and you owe it to the fans to try to make your free throws because you're costing us games, victories. Come on, try anything. I don't know. I just don't understand it. I really don't. But my son, Scooter, my oldest boy, who played on the championship team at Kansas with Larry Brown, and that's another good trivia question, who was the first father in the modern era and to have a son playing an NCAA championship team? That was myself and my son, Scooter. And he's got a company that's called Vibrato Tech, and it has a shooting sleeve that's sophisticated with sensors that is the greatest teaching tool I have ever seen. And every time you shoot, it gives you instantaneous feedback to help you and develop your shot so that you can become a much better shooter. And I'm hoping that they raise the other money that they have to because they can take it to other sports. They'll be able to do it for golf, throwing a baseball. Can you imagine throwing a baseball so that you learn to not get your arm in a position where you can create damage to it? And so you can learn and program yourself throwing a football.
I can
properly
see applications for that and all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And even in the medical field for people with prosthetics.
Yeah.
To put it on so they learn how to make the motion and move properly so they're not doing any other further damage and causing other problems. It's really, really a fascinating product. And Jerry West has seen it, and Chris Mullin, and a whole bunch of other people, and everybody's incredibly impressed. And we're trying to, he's trying to get it on to some of these guys like Andre Drummond, DeAndre Jordan, who are miserable free throw shooters. And the NBA is all concerned because everybody's, you know, fouling guys 6 times in 9 seconds to put them at the line because the statistics are in their favor. I mean, one guy, I mean, sadly, Andre missed 23 free throws in one game. They fouled him. He shot 36 free throws. And she thought, he shot 36 free throws, missed 23 of them, I think it was. That's more than I missed in my last 2 seasons combined.
Wow. So once again, you and I share this love of Hydrus and having, you know, I practice yoga all the time and it literally transformed my yoga practice. I don't know what you do to, do you still play basketball or how?
No, I'm too old to play basketball and beat myself up. And I even gave up playing tennis because I used to love that, but that's too hard on my body. And I ride a bike now. I don't do what I did before because I had a horrible bike accident 2 summers ago and I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. I fractured my pelvis in 5 different places and had a great surgeon, Dr. Patel, back up in Lakeview, Colorado, put me back together. I joked with him and said, who said they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again? And I've got more pins and screws and rods than me. The amazing thing is it don't ring when I go through security, but so I don't ride fast on a bike anymore.
But
and
the
I used
cool
to use
thing
that.
Is that that's got to have an impact in terms of the way your body feels too. And
well,
Hydrus.
I feel great. I mean, I feel good. But when I go and I work out and I'm going to get on and do some aerobic things and lift and do things of that nature, I'm going to sweat. I got to keep hydrated,
right?
For sure. So I fill up my water jug and stuff and put my Hydrus in there and bring it to me and drink it while I'm working out. And it's just one of those things that you should just drink it all, you know, every day. You should be drinking it to keep yourself hydrated because you're going to eliminate a lot of other problems that most people have to deal with that don't even realize that they're being caused because of the fact that they don't have hydration. And the testing that they have is off the charts. They've got new testing going on now that they're going to be coming out with that'll, I think, blow some people away as to how good it really truly is. And I just recommend you go to the website, read about it, go to Hydrus, Hydrus, performance.com, hydrusperformance.com. And as a special bonus in the promo code, put my number 24 that I wore when I played basketball, put 24 in there. And you'll get an extra discount for your initial order and save a few bucks. And I'm sure that if you give it a try, it's got different flavors. It tastes fine. And I know it was fine that if I can get, you know, my son or something to drink it, I mean, I know it's good because he usually doesn't like anything. And even my wife, who's fussy about stuff. So, yeah, it's a heck of a product. And no sugar. That's the other thing. Great for
no
diabetics
sugar.
And stuff.
Yeah.
No sugar. You don't have the same issue that you have. And if you read about how bad sugar is for you, folks, you're going to want to make sure that you get yourself hydrated with Hydrus.
Well, you've done the Hydrus tag, so I get to do the prideofhomes.com and Luke Team Real Estate tag. Yeah, as I mentioned before, change is really important. And we were talking about knowing how to play the game and play the game properly and understanding how to play the game. That is also true with real estate in a big way. So if you're in the market to buy or sell in the North Metro, reach out to Eric and Aaron Lucero, the husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. You can check out their website by clicking on their picture at the top of the BobDavisPodcasts.com. You can go to prideofhomes.com. You can go to Luke Team Real Estate, or you can simply call them at 763-433-9100. That's 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100 for real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and we do have a lot of pilots listening, and yeah, you want to get there, but you want to get there safely, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. This system saves lives, okay? And it has saved lives, and it's FAA approved. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. It will take you to their website and show you a video, and you can learn more about Alpha Systems and how it fits into your avionics package. And thank you, Alpha, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. You know, I mentioned donations for diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee and beef jerky every time I talk about this, you know, on the air, talking about the mobile podcast command unit, which I am right now riding around on the campaign trail and now getting ready to go off on the travel adventure portion of this trip, which is taking me down to the Florida Keys. And it is being powered by people like Michael Pickett and Sue Salomon and my friend John and Ed Nass, who have been donating. Sometimes people donate donate $5. Sometimes they don't donate $2. Sometimes they donate $50. Actually, Michael just sent me $100. John sent me $100 a while back. So I really appreciate the donations. It is, you know, being used exclusively for diesel fuel and food to a certain extent on this trip. And I really, really appreciate your donations. And thank you, more importantly, for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and commenting on my videos on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, where I am bdavis7843. And thanks for your donations again, you guys, at thebobdavispodcast.com. Rick Berry, thanks a ton for taking the time today. I know you just got off a plane from Toronto, and you're probably ready to go take a nap. I would be, so.
My pleasure. It's always fun to talk about a lot of different things. Again, I have opinions about everything. People could like them, not like them. It doesn't matter to me because they're my opinions, and you can take them or leave them.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Thank you.